It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, back to your calls. We did follow up on the Brady workouts in Tampa earlier in the show. Mike and Milton wants to weigh in. Hi, Mike.
Hey, yeah, I just think that the fact that Brady's out, like, giving it 110% just shows you that if Pill just could have given him a little, we would have had full-on 110% Brady. And I just want to go back to something Matt said, that Bill hasn't changed. Bill has absolutely changed. He's doing documentaries now. His ego used to be, like, you know, pretty big. Now it's, like, the size of a football stadium.
Hey, Mike, who's changed, more, Brady or Belichick?
Probably Brady, but what professional sports athlete in the entire world that's good doesn't get a little bit of special treatment? I was racking my brain. I can't think of one. Literally, not one.
So I'm okay with a little special treatment, but I feel Brady wanted more than that.
He wanted more than a little special treatment?
Yes.
I mean, he just wanted to have his trainer in there and, you know, get a contract. How's that?
And I don't like what I'm being surrounded by, and he's not drafting the right guys, and I have to play with this guy.
I just want to take issue with one more thing.
Go ahead.
That Antonio Brown was somehow Brady's doing. That was because Bill didn't plan correctly, and he needed to get Brown at the last minute. Bill was just as much on board as that as Tom was. And then just one last thing. The Bubba thing is just as embarrassing. Like, the assault on his character is just as embarrassing and proves just as much of a point as the whole Adam Jones, we don't say the N-word here in Boston thing. It's really just embarrassing for the people assaulting his character. Murray, get off Twitter, man. Like, you can't let the people on Twitter affect how you're feeling. They're nuts.
Okay, yeah. Mike, you gave me a couple things there. First of all, Antonio Brown. Yes, Bill was on board, but Antonio Brown was a move that was made to appease Brady. And that's that. They had to make him happy because Brady's got all high maintenance and bitchy about the players around him. And so they bent over backwards and took a big risk on a guy they normally wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. And so I think them trying to appease Brady led to the Antonio Brown mistake. The thing on Bubba Wallace, you know, people attacking his character, Mass, I know you have a thought about that.
Well, so look, again, I say the idea that this was a hoax. If you believe that, then you haven't read the story. This wasn't a hoax. So I just think the notion of, what do you think now? What do you mean, what do I think? It wasn't a hoax. It's not like it was a complete, you know, completely choreographed or just made up out of thin air. And is it that implausible that that could have happened? Like, and I'm not saying it did. I mean, clearly in this case we have, but the point is, was it a believable story given where they were and the current climate in the country?
Totally. And that's why I bought it on Monday. And I obviously the caller didn't agree with what I said, but I thought, and I wasn't attacking his character, but again, everything is just an extreme now. I didn't understand why he went on CNN last night and said to Don Lemon, who clearly wasn't buying his story either, that, you know, like, he just was like, it's a noose. It was doubling down. It's like, dude, what are you doing here? And I thought it felt like it was a bit opportunistic. You're trying to make more of this out of it actually is, when you just said, hey, thankfully it wasn't more than it actually was. It wasn't a real hate crime. And he ended up putting a statement out today essentially saying all that. Last night, it felt like he was trying to make something more out of it, which I didn't agree with it at all.
Well, so the reason I believe it is because NASCAR is the one that told me. It wasn't him. It wasn't his people. NASCAR was the one that released the statement, released the story. It was the president of NASCAR that came out in a couple different forms over 24, 36 hours, strongly condemning what he called a heinous act, and it was the way NASCAR reacted. So, and I'm going to tell you, they reacted poorly. I understand. I think they overreacted, but I fully understand why they overreacted. And that's because they're trying to change the reality of their sport, which is it's a racist sport. And their fans have too many racists in their ranks. And that's not even a perception. That's a fact. It's a sport and a circuit that has fostered and accepted racism for a long time. And they're finally trying to change it. Finally. And so what happens is at the most racially charged track on the circuit, in one of the most racially charged times we've had in decades, the one African-American driver and his crew says we found a noose in the stall. And so NASCAR, instead of investigating it themselves and shooting it down themselves, says, you know what? We're going to believe you. We're going to fully behind you. And we're going to bring in someone neutral to tell everybody what happened. Because if NASCAR tells everybody what happened, it's just a rope pull for the garage. No one's going to believe us. People are going to think it's an inside job. And we're trying to show complete transparency and err on the side of the thing we've erred on the other side of our entire existence. So I understand why NASCAR overreacted. But that, I think, is what started the whole thing, is NASCAR easily could have conducted this investigation internally. They walked down there, take a look at it, and say, no, it's for the garage. This has been here for, you know, for 8 months or whatever it's been. It's been here for since last October. And here's the picture of it. It's been here forever. It's not a statement. It's to get the garage down. And, you know, they could have done that, but if they come out and they shoot it down, does everyone believe them?
No. And they were right to reach out to the DOJ and FBI and have them look into it and be an intermediary, because there would be those who would be like, oh, please, you're just trying to cover it up and, you know, protect your base, which is, I think, been problematic in terms of your sport here for a long, long time.
Here we go with Tom and Quincy on the return of Major League Baseball. How you doing, Tommy?
I'm good. How are you guys? I'm very excited with the news. I will say this much. I don't mind the fact that they're going into the season with the rotation not exactly what I would want necessarily, but it is what it is. My concern is that they're going to need to win these games like 10-8 and 12-10 because that bullpen sucks so bad. I was looking at it again today.
Tom, just let me stop you. Why do I feel better about Barnes, Workman, Brazier, Embry, than I do about Eddie Rodriguez, Evaldi, Martin Perez, Wyan Weber, and bullpen game? Like, is it possible the bullpen's actually better than the rotation right now?
I freaking hope not, honestly, because listen, I get the first three. I get the Evaldi's concerns with the injuries. I get the Eduardo Rodriguez. Can he do it again 2 years in a row? The Perez kid, he's a total mystery to me. Weber, please. Then the bullpen thing, you know how I feel about that. The bullpen, though, the only real change that I saw is McHugh is in, Velasquez is out, but you still have all of the tools that you had there last year. Schwerin, number one, you still got Brazier, you still got someone named Austin Bryce. Who the hell is that? Taylor, Walden, Brazier, Colton Brewer with the spin rate stuff. I'm going to have to listen to the same exact thing again. So the Sox need to score 10 runs a game because I'm not convinced that bullpen can hold any kind of lead whatsoever when you get into the 6th and 7th when you got Schwerin and Brazier and these other stiffs in there.
Okay. So it feels good. It's, again, from a previous time and era. I'm gonna bitch about the bullpen again. Feels good.
And the date Tom is looking for is July 20th. That is the return of the baseball reporters and the Wheel of Gutless Bums. We'll have it for you July 20th.
Well, let's see what Chaim Bloom does. In Tampa there, for all their, you know, lack of payroll, they've always seemed to figure out their bullpen from when Joe Maddon was there and beyond, right? They always sort of figure out their pitching with whatever supercomputers or whatever super nerd analytics they put on the thing. So let's see what Chaim Bloom that's where I'm looking for him in, you know, there, you know, what did he come up with in the bullpen? We got Michael in Medford on Tom Brady. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, a couple of weeks before Brady signed with Tampa, you played a clip where someone asked Belichick when he made Brady his last offer, and Bill said last August, and that really got you upset. So you said that that was like a shot over Brady's bow. Then you clapped your microphone and said to Tom, you actually went on camera and said this, Brady, I don't care if Tampa Bay is the only team that makes you your offer. Take it and go to Tampa Bay. You'd have better receivers, and it'd be good for the sport. And you kept on saying that a couple of times over and over again.
Right, so what's the point today, Mike?
And the point being is, lately I've been hearing, can you believe he's playing for the worst professional team in professional sports and all this negative stuff. And I'm saying, wait a minute, your request was on it. He's there.
Oh, it's all true, though. It's all true. He picked the trashiest organization in all of pro sports.
I wanted him to go after last season, too, and I was glad that he did. But it really, it's jarring to see. It was the video that we played the other day that the Bucks put out of him and Gronkowski working out together. It's one thing to see the stills, but to see him actually have the throwing motion and do the rah, let's effing go when he comes out of the tunnel in a Bucks uniform, I'm sorry, even I, who wanted him to go and do something different and have better weapons and reinvigorate himself, I don't like seeing him in a Bucks uniform do all that kind of stuff. It shouldn't have ended this way.
But, I mean, don't look at me. The idea of him in Tampa Bay repulsed me from the beginning. Like, talk about a match made in hell. Those two don't deserve each other. You have the winningest player in the history of the NFL, a guy who's defined the Lombardi Trophy during his era, and an organization that is the absolute freaking dumpster of American sports. That is the absolute outhouse, Tampa Bay. That's what it is. It is a complete crap hole.
Some things you just remember as a sports fan, like, that just looks wrong. And now this is another one you can add to the pile, like Emmett Smith on the Arizona Cardinals at the end, or Jordan on the Wizards. You just look at it and you're like, oh, that's gross.
Oh, it's garbage. It's a garbage franchise. It's a bad brand. All these things are true, caller. So he picked a trashy place to go. It was the only one that would really have him. And should he have gone? Yes. And I wanted him to go, not just because it's a great story, it's interesting, but I was sick of seeing his act here the last couple of years. What good is it for him to stay here, not get paid what he wanted to get paid, not be surrounded by what he wanted to be surrounded by, be pissed off, half engaged, not putting in the work? This is such a better Brady. Once again, Tom Brady working his ass off, outworking everybody. That's such a better Tom Brady than the guy that was here the last couple of years. I can't show up because of the family, but lying like that and doing all that crap. I mean, that was no good. So he's better off. He's better off. It's a better story. And at least he put his money where his mouth is this time. You know, he's been upset with his contract for years. So, but instead of holding out, you know, instead he, what, all this passive-aggressive bullcrap and one foot out the door? No, if they're really screwing you over, if they're really mistreating you, leave. Leave. Even for the dumpiest franchise in sports, if that's what it takes. So, nope, I think all those things are true. We continue with your thoughts. Couple open lines at 617-779-0985 right after this.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The
Sports Hub.
So I don't buy into this thing that, like, Jordan leaves the Bulls, and everybody goes, man, they're so dysfunctional. No, they're not. The Bulls are what they always were, pre-Jordan and post-Jordan. It's the same team. Mess. New England, post-Tom Brady, never going to be the same. So when you hear a lot of this, I cannot wait to prove we did not need Tom Brady. Eye roll. Julian Edelman is all kinds of pumped up to prove the Patriot doubters wrong. According to reports, direct quote, he hates excuses. He's not just a product of Brady. Okay, I would like to deliver some facts here. Julian Edelman has never made a Pro Bowl. He led the NFL in drops last year. 3 seasons total in his career where he didn't miss games to injuries. And he has 36 career touchdowns. Randy Moss had over half that in 1 year with Brady. Julian Edelman is not even Wes Welker. Wes Welker was a Pro Bowler 5 times, All-Pro once, 5,000-yard seasons. And outside of 1 year, 1 year in New England, he got hurt. That's about it. New England. You got to get used to something. You're the Bulls. You're the Bulls pre-Jordan and the Bulls post-Jordan. Eh. That's what New England is. Bill Belichick didn't win in Cleveland. He wasn't winning in New England. Brady is the franchise.
Aren't you fascinated to find out if that's right or not? And God forbid Colin Coward's right, that we are the Bulls. Trash before Brady, trash after. And I know the Pats weren't quite trash in the run-up to Brady. You know, from Parcells getting here in 93 to 2000, they were fine. You know, they were, you know, certainly a representative NFL team. They weren't trash. So it's not a perfect analogy, but just sort of work with it. The Pats were one thing before Brady, then they were another thing with them, and now they go back to being that other thing. Aren't you fascinated to find out if that's what they are or not?
Yes.
I mean, what are they? What are they? Are they the Steelers who figured it out in the 70s and have been the Steelers ever since? And they, you know, again, never really went back to the bottom of the league or even the middle of the league. You know, they've been a power brand from that point forward and a representative competitive team most year in, year out for, you know, since that time for a full generation. Are they going to be that kind of team, or are they going to be the Bulls? I mean, that's a great story. That's a great thing we're about to find out. Tremendous. And, you know, what the value of Brady and all that, like, that's great. I don't agree. I think between, you know, the ownership, which is good, and Belichick, that they should be fine. And they're going to be competitive, and they are going to be the new Steelers, I think. But if they're not, oh, boy, you know. So, I mean, we're going to find out through all of this.
Well, and I'll tell you, look, and I know this is obvious, but, like, sometimes I sort of stop and I catch myself and I think, what if Stidham can play? What if he can play? Like, what if, you know, and again, I pick whatever metric you want to or barometer to gauge him. Is, you know, he's Tony Romo, he's Dak Prescott, take your pick. But what if he's good? Because Bill will know how to use him and find a way to exploit his talents if he's good. What if they hit on it?
I wish again. I wish he'd get his ass back up here and start working out again. You're going to Texas for the month. I hate that part.
Can you imagine what the rest of the league is going to do or feel Stidham can play? They are going to be beside themselves. They're going to be like, you've got to be kidding. After all of that, they dumped the 43-year-old, you know, and who left them for a pole dancer, for crying out loud. They dumped that guy, and they end up with another beauty? Imagine that. What if the kid can play?
All right. Again, 617-779-0985. Paul in Maine. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, hey guys, geez, listening to Tom and Quincy's recap of the pitching staff just now made my stomach curdle. I'd pretty much forgotten how gross those bums are. But Michael, I'm with you. I'm old school, and I also place a premium on work ethic. So while the Pats fan in me is definitely irritated with Brady's lack of preseason diligence the last few years, the football fan in me is psyched to see him back with his usual focus this year. It's good for the game overall, and he reminds me of another GOAT, the best receiver of all time, Jerry Rice, who was renowned for his off-season workout regimen, where I guess he would just bury guys on brutal uphill sprints. There's a reason why only a few select people are the greatest. It's because of a competitive work ethic and drive that goes way beyond normal, and not everyone, Jason Tatum, has it.
So we got to find out about Tatum. And I admit I'm overplaying the story, okay, for effect. It's the apocalypse. What do you want? But I honestly, I don't like the optics of the story I read about Jason Tatum today in The Athletic. And that is all this time he's been putting into his golf game. All this, the golf game. The story in The Athletic, the headline, no basketball, no problem. During hiatus, Jason Tatum thriving at golf. And the story goes on to talk about how he's always at Core Golf in Natick, that great practice facility, again, in Natick, Speen Street in Natick. Check it out. But he's got his own private coach. They've been over there at least 10 times to Core Golf. He spends over an hour there each time. I've heard he's there more than just the lessons, that he's there constantly, hitting balls, working on his swing, and actually apparently getting pretty good. He's a total beginner. Total beginner, starting totally from scratch. And just picking up the story, Tatum is still in the beginning stages of building a lasting swing, but already shows rare natural talent. In a video that his coach posted to Instagram, he claimed that Tatum hit a bunt driver 315 yards. I still don't even know what the hell that means.
No idea.
But he had a bunt driver 315 yards. His coach said Tatum has already eclipsed the average swing speed of PGA Tour players at about 114 miles an hour. The coach, again, whose name is Bill Boisvert, said that he makes half swings at 118 miles an hour, said the coach. But with a wingspan and the physics of it, he's got a very, very long lever to create speed for him. So it doesn't even look like he's swinging, and he's swinging 118. So he's well ahead of the PGA Tour average without even really doing it. So, oh, wee, so great, neat. You know, I feel like he's working diligently and is obsessed with golf. And I don't want to hear that if I'm a Celtics fan. I want to hear that he's working diligently and is obsessed with basketball, and you can't get the ball out of his hands. And that, but it was just the opposite of what I've heard. What you heard was in the middle of the pandemic is that he hadn't touched a basketball in 2 months and didn't even have a rim to shoot at because he didn't have one at his house. The Celtics had to run one out to him. And it's like, I know it's just an optic thing. And I know I'm making too big a deal of it, but I don't like it. I want to hear my guys being obsessed with their sport and working their balls off at their sport, not another one.
And I know you don't care about this, but the fact that he can swing a club like a PGA Tour pro in terms of the velocity, who gives a rat's ass?
Yeah, what does that mean?
He's 6'7". I would hope he can whip the club through there. God knows he's got a long enough arc. Like, you know, he can get all the way around there. That's a long way to go. I would hope he can get to 118 miles an hour, because if he doesn't, he sucks.
Dustin in West Brookfield with the take on that Colin Coward cut that we play. Go ahead, Dustin. Hello, Dustin.
Yes, hello.
You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
I'm holding it like a pizza.
All right.
Yeah, so it's funny that Colin Coward says how much Edelman sucks, yet Welker couldn't catch a pass in the frickin' Super Bowl to win. Like, I don't understand where he gets that. Edelman made one of the biggest catches and one of the biggest comebacks in Super Bowl history, yet Welker's better. Edelman was way better than Welker and still is.
Oh, preach. He's just looking at stats. Anyone that actually thinks that is a complete moron. Welker better than Edelman, please. Make a catch in a big game, you stiff.
So I go Edelman, too, but they're close.
It's not really the point.
I mean, it's closer than you're giving credit. I mean, I disagree with Colin on that, too, and that does sound like someone who hasn't watched him every week like we have, you know? So he does. He looks at the stats and the Pro Bowls and things of that nature and says Welker was a superior player. I don't think that he was. I think Edelman was a slightly better receiver and a better punt returner on top of it all. And so, I mean, and had a better intangible and all of that. I'll take Edelman over Welker any day of the week. But this is another thing we're going to find out. Is Edelman just a product of Brady?
Right. That's the ultimate point, is that what's Edelman going to be without Brady? And I would hope, I'm happy to hear that Edelman is motivated by the absence of Brady, because for a while there, I think there was a chance that Edelman was going to teeter, or Edelman was teetering and could have fallen on the wrong side, and he could have looked at Tampa Bay and he said, well, Gronk's there, Brady's there, like, what am I still doing here? We're completely rebuilding. And instead, he's got the ass about it. That's good. I think that's a good sign. Edelman's an important guy in that team. So I would hope that he has something to prove. That can only help them.
Right. This is another guy we're going to see, though. And I expect and I want the complete sellout for Jared Stidham that he gave to Tom Brady. The complete devotion and selling out on every level for his quarterback and his team. Because he plays with the New England Patriots, not the New England Bradys. And so that's what I want to see from Julian Edelman. That's another fascinating thing that we got ahead of us. Mike in Woburn joins us. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Felger, so you've gone from the Jets to
the Colts when they were trying to get their number one QB. And now we're talking about the Steelers from when they ended their reign till when Roethlisberger took over as the gold standard and how a team is supposed to be, right?
No. I'm just saying they're a big, powerful brand, and they never really, you know, big picture have fallen off.
Oh, Mike, did you miss the Bobby Brister years, the Mark Malone years, the Todd Blackledge years? But I actually like the Steelers. I because as a kid, I had a little thing for Mean Joe Green, so that I kind of watched them along with the Patriots. They weren't. You know what they were? They were us. They were us. They would go to an AFC championship and get Alfred Papuna opening coconuts all over their ass for the Chargers who got destroyed in the Super Bowl. Or they go to the Super Bowl and get blown out by Larry freaking whatever his name, who was intercepting Neil O'Donnell like it was, you know, like they were handing out Tic Tacs. They were not a good team until they got a quarterback. They were competitive with us in the early 2000s,
Mike,
only because they got the XFL MVP as their quarterback.
Mike,
need a good quarterback, Mike. You need it. The Steelers weren't good until they got Roethlisberger.
Don't be such a baby. I mean, really, God, dang it. Why, you're such a child.
That team wasn't good in the 90s, and I hate that team more than any other franchise in all of professional sports. I hate the Pittsburgh Steelers. I hate their fans. They were always kind of there in the 90s.
They've always
kind of...
With
Neil O'Donnell, who sucked.
Of all the dynasties in the NFL, and I just, you know, from the Raiders to the Dolphins to the 49ers to Dallas, I mean, you just name it.
And with Cordell Stewart, too.
But Pittsburgh never fell off like those teams. Of course they had a stray bad year or two here. Of course they did. But they went to AFC title games and Super Bowls with bum quarterbacks, as we've just been talking about. But you just don't like someone saying something nice about another franchise?
Do you know what their worst record is since 1990?
Good God, Mike, grow up!
7-9, maybe?
6-10. 6-10 in 99.
They've never sniffed a first round, but you know, like all these other teams, all these other dynasties. And again, that's just a short list off the top of my head. But, you know, the Redskins, falling off, goodbye. They used to be a elite marquee team and franchise in the NFL. So was Dallas. So were the Niners. So were the Dolphins. So were the Raiders. You just name it. All those had massive drop-offs. Massive. The Steelers never really had anything like that. They became a powerhouse brand in the 70s, and they still are today. That's my point. Good God. You get your panties in a bunch? Could you say something nice about another team? Ridiculous. Even in these times, Mike. Come on. Here's Murray's update.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mass.
You guys do a great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Have you seen ropes like that hanging from garages? Is that typical?
Don, the image that I have and I have seen of what was hanging in my garage is not a... It's not a garage pool. I've been racing all my life. We've raced out of hundreds of garages that never had garage pools like that. So people that want to call it a garage pool and put out old videos and photos of knots being in their as their evidence. Go ahead. But from the evidence that we have, and that I have, it's a straight up noose. The FBI has stated it was a noose over and over again. NASCAR leadership has stated that it was a noose. I can confirm that. I actually got evidence of what was hanging in my garage, over my car, around my picker guys, to confirm that it was a noose. And never seen anything like it. It's not something. I talked to my crew chief about it. I said, is this something like, I wanted to make sure we weren't jumping the gun. And I said, this isn't a knot. This isn't just a regular old witch god. He's like, Bubba, this isn't something that can be done within a second of just tying a knot and being on the way. This is something that took time.
So what are you saying here? Are you saying that you don't believe? Do you believe that it was intended for you in that way? Or are you? What are you saying here?
It was a noose. It was a noose that was whether tied in 2019 or whatever. It was a noose. So it wasn't directed at me, but somebody tied a noose. That's what I am saying. Mm-hmm. It is a noose.
So that's Bubba Wallace on CNN last night. Murray, you didn't like that interview?
No, is it just, well, that along with, he made an appearance on The View yesterday morning, too, that I just feel like it's like you're fanning the flames of a country that's already on fire, man. And especially the thing on CNN, once it was already reported, you know, around this time yesterday, that the statements come out from the NASCAR and the FBI, this wasn't, thankfully, a hate crime that was committed here. There was good that came out of this. There wasn't a hate crime, thankfully. And you saw NASCAR rally around Bubba Wallace on Monday in a show of support you've never seen in that sport before. And they, you know, there are things that they're doing that I think are good changes, like getting rid of that stupid, hideous flag. But this, like, it's just all of a sudden to me, it felt like opportunistic. It felt like he was trying to double down, and I didn't get it. And he's since put out a statement today where it reads in part, which I thought was good, because I would rather he say something like this last night with Don Lemon, who I feel like, even hearing it there, he wasn't buying what he was saying.
Oh, but so, I mean, I think you've that wrong. I think that was a friendly spot for him. Don Lemon and CNN, I think that was...
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it? I know, and that typically is a
I just saw the clip.
Yeah, I don't know. Don Lemon had kind of an eye roll thing going on there. Like, okay, dude. Like,
really?
Yeah. Is it a noose meant to intimidate, or it was just an unfortunate coincidence? This is how this thing was tied, and you happened to be selected to go in that garage as well. Like, again, it's the most 2020 thing ever that it's Bubba Wallace that ends up in that garage, because the FBI, NASCAR, they do this thorough investigation, and it wasn't a hate crime. And he puts out the statement today that said, well, we'll gladly take a little embarrassment over what the alternatives could have been. Make no mistakes. Some will try to detract from the show of unity we had on Monday. Progress we've made as a sport. We should be welcoming and to all. Like, that's what I like to hear. What he was trying to do last night, it's like, what are you trying to now become, like, you're going to try to parlay this like how Kaepernick did and get, you know, that Nike money? Like, I think that's fair to ask.
Well, I mean, maybe you're right. But I think he's just pushing back against people saying it's a hoax. And he's just trying
to say... And I'm not that guy.
No.
No, the others are. Yeah, there's...
No, but what I'm saying is he's just saying...
And there were people questioning, Mike, whether it was even a noose.
Right, it's a noose. I mean, he's saying it's a noose. It's not like we made up that there was a noose in there. No, it was a noose. So, I mean, that's what I took it as, but maybe it's something else. Who knows? Hot takes with Murray. So there's one thing. Here's another thing that I want to put across your table there, Murray. So you didn't like that comment. How about the one from Ben Roethlisberger?
Oh, this made me laugh.
Ben Roethlisberger was speaking at a virtual conference for Christian men and was, well, that's what this was. This was a virtual Zoom conference for Christian men. And Ben Roethlisberger said the following. It's not always easy. People don't realize all the time that us athletes, we're human. We sin like everybody else. I am no different. We make mistakes. We get addicted to things. We sin. We're human. I think sometimes we get put on this pedestal where we can't make mistakes. I've fallen as short as anybody. I've been addicted to alcohol. Mm-hmm. I've been addicted to pornography, which makes me then not the best husband, not the best father, not the best Christian I can be. But if you have to dedicate yourself and understand that you can get out of it because of the grace of God and Him saying, listen, you're good enough for me the way you are, you don't have to be perfect. But he claimed that he's been addicted to alcohol and pornography.
Murray.
Murray, your thoughts. Sorry.
Well, yeah, you can be addicted to alcohol and drugs. But sex addiction, I believe, is fake. In fact, you could Google that, too. Like, there's scientific fact behind that. You know, Psychology Today, look up. There's articles that prove, like, that one's a crock. And Ben Roethlisberger is full of crap when it comes to that one. I've been right about this fat pervert since day one. Guys like him, Tiger Woods... Anthony Weiner, the politician, guys that always use the crutch of sex addiction, it's just that. It's a crutch. You're powerful dudes who don't know the meaning of the word no. And you're used to getting your way. And in Roethlisberger's case, I do believe that he was involved in what was essentially a rape. It's about power and control. That's what it always is with these guys. And when they get caught, it's always, well, I'm a sex addict. Couldn't help myself. Womp, womp. He's full of it.
He didn't say sex addict.
He lacks impulse control is what it is. He lacks impulse control. He can't control himself.
But he didn't say sex and love addict.
Sex addict is the same thing as, oh, I'm a porn addict. Okay. Oh, man, I got to get me some Hustlers. I can't even concentrate on my work right now. I got to go take care of myself in the bathroom. Ah, oh, God, I need it so bad.
This is my question. What constitutes pornography addiction? That's my question. We can all wrap our head around.
Man, I got to get out of this segment right now. I got to go in that bathroom and, oh, man, I got to pull up Pornhub on my phone. I got to get it out. I can't concentrate. Oh, God.
Well, this is what I mean. Alcohol addiction, we all have the telltale signs. If you black out, if it affects your work or your family life, you may have a drinking problem. What constitutes a pornography problem?
A real supple hand. Yeah, that hand, you know, your go-to hand is softer than ever. You shake that guy's hand, be like, wow, that's a real soft hand. And then if you were happen to see it, if you saw in the changing room, all of a sudden very red and raw down there, like, oh, you got something? What, did you catch something? Oh, man, I'm just a masturbation addict. I can't help myself. Oh, I got to touch it right now. Ah, come on. It's a crock.
Well, I was going to say, let's use sort of the same standards. I mean, you know, the alcoholic has like, you know.
You stink of booze. You get in accidents.
And not only that, but you have a bottle of vodka in the bottom drawer of your desk, right? Like you're sneaking it.
Yep.
So. The porn addict, I guess, in the middle of the office is, you know, Murray says sneak off to the bathroom. You can bring the phone with you now. I suppose that's probably what you would do.
Right.
Zolak is constantly getting up and going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Either gotta get it out.
A very touchy prostate so what constitutes? I get the sex and love thing. I guess it's debatable. There are people who really believe, you know, and it's a legit addiction like anything else, sex and love addicts. The pornography addiction, though,
I think it falls under the same umbrella, but
it's a gray area. He put a little gradation on it. Yeah. He said he was a pornography addict, not a sex addict.
When they hand him the old iPad or whatever on the sideline, instead of looking at what the previous play was, talking to the OC, he's like, oh, no, man, I got to get on to like the online. I need to see some boobs and ass.
Again, that's one of my, that was how you define a drinking bug. Does it creep into your professional life? Does it show up to work? So if you're a pornography addict, how does that show up at work? How does that show up in your personal life?
Well, you're bringing the phone with you into the stall, I guess. I don't know. You're doing something like that. Like, you know, it's not like you can just sneak it into a cup at your desk. It doesn't work that way. So I suppose you'd have to, you know, I question the legitimacy of the diagnosis.
People will automatically assume I'm talking about myself because I'm going to say my friend. But I have a friend that actually, like, pays for some of these websites. And that, to me, it's like, there might be a problem. They're like, dude, you know, porn's free everywhere now on the internet. Like, it's just at the tip. You're going to pay whatever it is a month for this particular website? Like, that's a little weird.
I'm with you because what are we really talking about here? We need about a minute of something, and that's, you know, like, what do you need to subscribe for what?
Yeah, that's when you have a wealth of anything that you could possibly think of. So from the benign to the incredibly freaky, all at your fingertips, and you're still going to pay $20 a month for a weapon?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't work for me unless I have good production quality.
I just thought it was interesting there. He went porn addict, not sex addict, which is what I was expecting too, right? For a former accused rapist, you know, to sort of, well, that's my problems and my addictions, and you know, I'm helpless, I'm powerless, I get that if he went sex and love, he went pornography, which I'm just less familiar with.
Yeah, maybe that
with.
Gives him the out somehow. I don't know. But
it's a lie, please. It's a lie. And you ever notice how all these guys, once they turn, you know, once they get accused of a felony or, and in his case, I'm not even sure he was actually accused, was he? Like, so regardless, but once they venture into that neighborhood, whether regardless of what the transgression is, they all find God, and all of a sudden they're speaking and talking about how they've turned their lives around, and that, you know, this was actually a sign of help. Please, you lack self control, you lack impulse control, and you're a degenerate, probably.
No, it's true. This is what I've thought of Roethlisberger since that incident years ago, and now he comes out with this. Like, who doesn't read this or hear this and think, oh,
maybe,
come on?
Maybe the man just can't keep his hands off himself. It's just,
I mean,
That's
at the end of the day, what man can?
I'm just saying. All right, on that note, we'll go to the final word right after this.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. It wasn't a re-entry Monday, of course, but it was a tough re-entry for phone callers today. A bit bumpy to start off the first rounds of calls. Yeah, not
shocker.
Great. So here's a mix of some of those terrible calls from earlier today.
Here's Greg in Shrewsbury on the workout the thing. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, guys. First off, I want to say we're lucky to have you all. And, Felger, I love you, but I you talk about toughness, it bothers me so bad. It's like Tiger Woods talking about celibacy. It doesn't make sense.
Greg, hold it like a pizza, my God, please, for the love of God. Hold it like a pizza, quit futzing around, and give me your take. Go, try it again.
You hear me, sir?
Oh, my God. What do you think he's doing there?
Hey, Felger, I love you, man, but I got a...
on a seesaw.
What I don't understand
I gotta
is...
I got to call you out, man. I got to shove this on my ass. I got to call you out.
Like, good God.
Receiver's up.
No, just on shove it up your ass and then give me your take. That's a great approach.
The part I don't get is you call a radio show, you get put on hold. So while you're on hold, you decide to do something else. I don't know, maybe mess with the stuff on your desk, Murray, crack open a beer, whatever it is. It's okay. It's fine. You're messing around. Then they answer the phone and you can't stop to actually talk into the phone. You can't even do that.
He was something.
I missed the whole seesaw line. I like that. Hey, Felger, good to see you. I want to talk to you about you. There's something I got to say.
Felger, you talking about toughness is like Tiger Woods talking about celibacy. You see, I understand because you were on Nantucket one time when you had the napkins on your leg. So that's understand why. Like, I get where you were going, buddy, but just, you know, hold it like a pizza.
So good.
All right. Speaking of Felger, we were talking about Jason Tatum and his newfound love of golf at Core Golf, practicing that, but not practicing his craft. So we'll go back. Actually, it's funny this happened 2 years ago today. You had a rant on how golf is worse than cheating on your wife.
This thing about time with the family, time with the family, time with the family, and then he goes golfing. There is nothing that divides a family more than golf. It is the great divider. You are almost better off cheating on your wife than golfing. Like, it's 1 and 1A. You know I'm right, guys who golf. You know it.
I might have to reassess some things.
How much, like, just, you know what it causes inside your house. So then you end up getting up at 6 in the morning on Saturday, so you could do it in 3 hours, so she's not just staring bullets at you all weekend long, so you can maybe prayer to get it in.
Six?
In 3 or 4 hours.
Try 5 o'clock.
Right. You get up at the ass crack of dawn to get this golf in because you've got to do it. And you just don't want the death stare from your wife when you get home and her tossing children in your lap like, now it's your turn, a-hole. Like, you know what golf does to a family. It destroys them. Because the gals can't handle it. It's one of the worst things you can do. If you want to patch things up with your family, be good to your wife and be good to your family, the last thing in the world you do is go golfing. The last. Nope. And Brady, what's Mr. Family Man doing? Golfing.
It was about Brady at that time that you were getting on for golf. Well, golf mattered to him then. Now it doesn't. He sucks at it. And what matters again is football.
I stand by all of that. Golf is the great divider.
You know what I'm doing after the show today?
Oh, you're going to tee it up?
I'm going squeezing 9 holes, bitches.
Boy.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.